I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Time to go on the money with Chris DeSimeo and his guest Declan O'Sullivan from Ball & Gaynor.
Well, it's a pretty good weekend for parades, if you're into parades of sorts. St. Paddy's Day Parade here in Cincinnati coming on later on today. All sorts of celebrations happening throughout the tri-state and throughout the country in honor of St. Patrick. The market had its own little parade, which continued for last week. The Dow Jones Industrials actually touched a territory, breaking into an area which they had not seen since 1996, namely a winning streak, not unlike the Miami Heat, of 10 consecutive sessions. And, of course, that continued then into Friday. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show our friend Declan O'Sullivan with the investment firm of Ball & Gaynor here in Cincinnati. Declan, a chartered financial analyst, a cagey veteran of many, many years in the investment industry, started with utility companies and has traveled the world in search of investments, and now a storied career and a fixture in the Cincinnati investment scene, and he seems to grace us with his presence right around the middle of March every year. Declan, thanks so much for being with us again.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. It must be coming up on St. Patrick's Day if you've been inviting me to participate.
Yeah.
But it's always a pleasure. It's one of the great shows in public broadcasting.
Well, thank you. And of course, your firm now manages several billion dollars from way 8 billion, 9 billion in that neighborhood. My goodness. In the money management business, this has been a really interesting time. You know, we have a big streak like this. Despite all the warnings, all the dire warnings that first we were going to fall off the fiscal cliff, and then that was averted on New Year's. Then we had the danger of the sequester, which, you know, again, March 1, we were all supposed to, almost like the Mayan calendar scare. Now, at the end, within a week or so, we are running into the so-called debt limit, and we're all praying for some kind of continuing resolution. Why is the market, Declan, ignoring all these soothsayers of doom?
I think the principal reason is that the housing market has reached a bottom and is now moving up, and that's a tremendous part of people's net worth. And people have been repairing their balance sheets that were overextended prior to the financial crisis of 2007-08, and now they've been doing that for 4 or 5 years. And, of course, their automobiles are getting older, and everything around the house is getting older. Life has to move on, and people have now felt that, well, they've done enough to repair some of the structural problems they have in their finances, and they're starting to spend now, much more cautiously. But I think it looks pretty solid going forward here.
Yeah, there is a noticeable turn in the housing market, and last weekend in Barron's, it was pointed out in a couple articles that those who have been concerned about the money that the Fed has been injecting and jamming into the economy has gone to do just what you said. It hasn't yet found its way into work its inflationary mischief. It has gone into firming up personal balance sheets, bank balance sheets. It has then helped provide the underpinnings, from what you're saying, of a recovery in housing. What are some of the sectors that an investor who's looking for growth or income or both might want to take a look at, given the recovery in housing?
Well, from our perspective at Ball & Gaynor, where we are interested more in this picking stocks than we are in the current valuation of the stock market, looking for the long term for people, we would tend to invest or look for investments in the very solid companies in the consumer area, also some good stocks in the industrial area. We believe that the United States has experienced something in the nature of a renaissance in the manufacturing area, which is very beneficial to the mid-continent area. And that's backed up by the huge discoveries of natural gas, which is making U.S. manufacturing very, very competitive to the rest of the world. European manufacturers are in a state of alarm over it. Recently, the German manufacturing group appealed to their government to change their policy with regard to energy, where they were shutting down their nuclear power plants and investing heavily in the alternative, wind and so forth. And they're asking the government to back off on that because they're going to make manufacturing so much more expensive in the continent than it will be in the United States.
Speaking of energy, one of the as you pointed out, this relatively cheap natural gas here in the U.S. versus the rest of the world. You spent a good deal of your career working for utility companies in the energy industry, which did it not take you into Venezuela at one point?
Yes.
What are your thoughts then, just as an aside, on what's going on down there? Does the changeover in Venezuela have a chance to affect or potentially derail the energy recovery here in the U.S.?
Oh, I don't think so. There's been a significant deterioration in the capacity of the petroleum industry in Venezuela to produce. In fact, when I was down there years ago, they were producing 4 million barrels a day. And incidentally, it was at $3 a barrel. Can you imagine that?
$3 a barrel.
But now they're down to 2 million, and actually it's declining. But they're getting $100, $110 a barrel, which makes a huge difference. But nevertheless, I don't see that as being there will be a recovery there. There's no doubt that there'll be some changes. But I think there's an awful lot of damage has been done to the potential of the country to produce that it'll take a long time for it to recover.
Speaking of damage, it's human nature. Here we are now, and you can't turn the TV on or open up a newspaper or listen to the radio, for that matter, without hearing the market's at an all-time high. And there is a mountain of cash just sitting on the sidelines looking for something more constructive to do or more productive to do than earn 1/100 or 1/10 of 1% in interest. What is your advice to those who are waiting for some kind of break in the market to invest instead of just kind of putting money to work? How do you feel less squeamish about allocating money into equities at this point?
Yeah, as long as you get paid immediately from your investments. In other words, if you're waiting for the market to produce the goods for you in a price appreciation, you might be waiting a long time. And in fact, you expose yourself to significant risk on the downside. But if you select stocks like Procter & Gamble and Exxon and Nestle and companies that have investments all over the world that are accustomed to dealing with every possible economic conditions from recessions to, great expansions, they have boards all over the world. They have lawyers, they have marketing people, they understand what the world is all about. And if one part of the world is not doing so well, there's always some other part of the world that will be on the opposite end. So if you're investing in those companies, I don't think you have to worry so much about the stock market, but be sure that you buy the right company. Mm-hmm. Companies that are paying dividends. And you can get good quality stocks paying 3%, 3.5%, or even 4% in the energy fields and even in the, actually right now you can get some very good buys in the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Bristol Myers or even a GlaxoSmithKline. And you can get 3 and 4% or maybe more.
Current income. In other words, make sure that you understand the underlying investments that are in a mutual fund or in an exchange-traded fund or in a portfolio rather than worrying about the whole market.
Correct. And be sure that you get paid, right up
instantly.
Front. I mean, instantly.
In the form of a dividend.
In form of a dividend. And at 3 and 4% with interest rates paying zero, and companies that are you're not at great risk. The volatility of the dividend is going to be a heck of a lot less than the volatility of the price.
Yeah,
of the
which and again there'll be a link to your firm's website from the WVXU.org website, and in your white paper, which is posted on your website, there are some very wonderful charts that describe the difference, the chart of the yield of the 10-year Treasury versus the chart of the yield of the S&P 500, and one is much smoother than the other. You know, Declan, I couldn't help but notice you have I guess it must have come from singing with the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick all these years, but you seem to have picked up a wee bit of an accent. Tell us in the last minute and a quarter that we have here, what kind of developments are you seeing that give you hopefulness as we approach this weekend of amber-colored holy water and other libations? What gives you hope that the situation in Europe in general and Ireland in particular might actually have a pot at the end of the rainbow?
Yeah, speaking about Ireland in particular, the Irish got enamored entirely with the price of real estate, and they went crazy. And they bid up housing 50-100%,
and it blew up on them.
And it blew up, and of course you have paying the consequences of that, and has resulted in a very difficult situation there. But they're recovering now, and the austerity, which is very painful, but again they're paying down their debts and so forth, and there is high unemployment, but they are now much more competitive because the cost of living has come down. Everybody's salaries are down. Mm-hmm. Even government salaries are down 10, 15, and 20%. Manufacturing is up, and they have a very solid balance of payments. And now they're able to invest, or they're able to attract investments on the international credit markets, and they're virtually out of dependence upon the European banks or the central bank
for support. Yeah. Thank you so much for the update. And Declan O'Sullivan from Ballygander, I want to really extend again our warmest appreciation for sharing part of our favorite weekend to be with us.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And I wish everybody a very happy St. Patrick's Day.
And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris McDesimio on The Money.